Come on, he's worthy of our best tonight. He's worthy of the highest praise. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody go ahead and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to cry out to him right now. Come on, just open up your heart tonight. Open up your vessel tonight. Open up your spirit. Cry out to him. Worship him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I just feel like we need to just worship him just for a few more seconds here tonight. Come on, somebody just needs to let go and just let every worry that's been pressing on your mind, just get it out of your mind. Press through that right now and give God some high praise in the house. Give God some high worship. Come on, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what problem you're facing tonight. God is worthy. He's worthy to be praised, regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of the Lord here tonight. As you can tell, our pastor is out of town. You want to be continuing to pray for the Sutton family. Let's pray for Sister Sutton. She buried her dad this week, and it's a tough season of life they're walking through. But as the Bible tells us, we don't weep like the world weeps. We don't mourn like they mourn. But we've got a hope. And we know that one day we'll see him again face to face. Because he was filled up with the Holy Ghost. He was baptized in Jesus' name. And he was a child of the living God. And now he is walking and dancing on streets paved in gold. He has reached the promise that we're all striving for. But for those that he's left behind here on earth, it's still some sorrow, some grief. We'll all miss Pawpaw. We all loved him, but we know he's in a better place tonight. And he's exactly where he wants to be. And you just want to remember that family in your prayers. Remember those grandkids, the great grandkids, all those involved in the family. Continue to lift them up in prayer. And just continue to pray for just God's will to be done through this church body. You know, there's a lot of folks that have been traveling last couple weeks with different spring breaks and stuff. You want to pray God's safety upon them, God's blessing upon them. But tonight we are here and we're going to handle the word of God. And they scraped the bottom of the barrel tonight and couldn't find anybody, so then they moved the barrel, began to dig out from underneath it, and here I am. So, but it doesn't matter the vessel that's here tonight to deliver the word. What matters is the power and the anointing of the word of God. But we're going to read tonight in John chapter 11, a story we're all very familiar with. And we're going to start in verse 14. We'll end up reading the majority of this chapter tonight for the media team's benefit. But for a text, we'll just take a few sample verses out of here. We begin reading in John chapter 11 and verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then skip down to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? By the help of the Holy Ghost tonight, I want to try to build somebody's faith in the house and just talk to you for a few minutes simply on the subject, why Lazarus died. Why Lazarus died. If you could put your Bibles down and just lift up your hands all across the sanctuary tonight, let's just ask God to help us. Mighty God, we love you. We thank you for your word. That's forever settled in the heavens, oh God. We thank you for the power, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. We thank you for your presence we feel in the house tonight, God. We pray that you would just help us over the next few minutes, God. Speak to your people tonight, God. Let your word go forth, God. I pray that you would just anoint my lips to speak it, God. Anoint every heart to receive it, God. And we ask it all in your name, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Before you're seated, why don't we give God another hand clap of praise in the house tonight. Hallelujah. And I feel like I'm about to become somebody's most favorite preacher here tonight, and it's not because of how I preach, but because of how long I preach. Don't expect to keep you too long, but I do have a word I want to share with you tonight. So we read here the story of Lazarus, and this is a very popular story in the Bible, and we teach this story in our Sunday school classes, and no doubt you have heard many preachers preach from this very story that we're discussing here tonight. I remember learning about Lazarus as a child in Sunday school, and I've heard many discussions about him since that time. But last year, I began to look at this story just a little bit different. I began to look at it from a different perspective, and that's what I want to share with you tonight. And we're going to take a look at the beginning of this story in John chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And last year, our Bible quizzing material was over the book of John. We learned this very passage that we've just read here tonight. And I don't know if it was in sitting and listening to one of our young people quote, or if it was when we were discussing the chapter, talking about it, what it meant, or when it was just hearing them answer a question at a practice or a tournament. But at any rate, a question struck me that had never entered into my mind before. And that question was, why did Lazarus die? I know the scriptures in Hebrews says it is important unto men once to die, but why did Lazarus really die that particular day? Why did Jesus, who knew all things, since he was after all God manifested in the flesh, why did he wait 2 days still in the same place where he was before he went and saw Lazarus? He knew Lazarus was going to die, and he knew at the exact moment when Lazarus passed away, because he told his disciples exactly that he was dead. It seems that his plan all along was for Lazarus to die and then for Jesus to go and resurrect him from the dead. But why exactly was that his plan or his purpose? We know by scripture that everything Jesus did, he did with a purpose. And he did to teach his disciples and others that were around him. So I began to look into this story and to see what was being taught, or see what might be taught to me about it. And let's just take a closer look and read in verse 17. And then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comfort her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Now there are several interesting things that you can take away from this passage that we've just read. The first being the differences in Martha's response to Jesus versus Mary's response. They both come to meet him and they both say the same thing unto him. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But let's look at how they approached him again. Back to Martha's approach in verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou would ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. So Martha's approach to Jesus is very, very pragmatic. It's very simple. It's very somehow how most of us might approach him. It's just simply coming and having discourse with him and talking to him. But then when we look at verse 32 and see how Mary approached him, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. So the scripture says that Martha went and met him, and they had a nice conversation, and Martha exhibited quite a bit of faith there. But when Mary came, she fell down his feet and was weeping. Now, I don't know if she was weeping out of sorrow or if she was weeping out of worship, but I think it was a little bit of both. So when Jesus saw Martha's faith mixed with Mary's worship, it invoked a response from the Master. Let me say that again. When he saw Martha's faith mixed with Mary's worship, it invoked a response from the Master. If we could tonight here, let's just take a moment and worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice and cry out to him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, someone here tonight needs to take your faith and mix it with your worship and give God a little bit of praise despite what you're going through, despite what you're facing. Go ahead and lift up your voice to him. Cry out to him. Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise you. Jesus, we worship you. We magnify you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The second interesting thing that we notice is Martha, Mary, and the Jews believe that Jesus could have healed Lazarus when he was sick, and that he could have If he'd only been there, he could have prevented him from dying. But when Jesus showed up, none of them said, oh, good, Jesus is here. Now Lazarus will be raised from the dead. But Jesus had other plans than just simply healing a sick man. If we look at verse 41 again, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And then down in verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. So here we kind of get a glimpse into the answer of the question, why did Lazarus die? It wasn't just for Martha's sake or Mary's sake or the disciples' sake, but it was also for all those that were around them. It was for them to see the miraculous nature of Jesus and to believe on him. As always, God had a bigger plan and a bigger purpose that no one else could see at that moment. Reading in verse 46, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we, for this man doeth many miracles? We're talking about Jesus here. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. And not for that nation only, but also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So here we read that Jesus also used the death of Lazarus and his resurrection to set into motion the events that would lead up to him dying on the cross and shedding his blood for our sins. As always, his ways are above our ways as the heavens are above the earth. Can we just lift up our hands and praise him one more time in the house? Hallelujah, Jesus. God, we love you. We praise you. We lift you up, God. Magnify your name, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I know this was, it's a simple story. It's a simple view of this story, but it was something that really spoke and ministered to me. And you know, sometimes life just happens. Things happen in life. Things are going to come your way. And sometimes it's just life that happens. Lazarus was going to die, regardless whether he knew Jesus, regardless whether he was friends with Jesus, regardless how Jesus felt about him, Lazarus was going to die that day. But because he knew Jesus, and because Jesus loved him, and because he had a relationship with Jesus, that meant that in his death, there was still hope. In his death, there could still be a purpose. There have been some things that have happened in our lives, in my life, in your life, and it makes us wonder, what should we do, or what would we do if we didn't have God to put our faith, trust, and hope in? I know several years ago, I was asking myself that question almost every day. What would we do? Me and my wife would look at each other. Some of you know our testimony, and I don't have time to get into it tonight, but we would look at each other at times and just say, what would we do if we didn't have God to hope in? What would we do if we didn't have God to put our trust in? I mean, we were going through what we were going through anyway. That was life coming our way. It was just us walking down the road of life and just getting hit right upside the head by life. But because we were in covenant with God, because we were in relationship with God, because we've been filled up with the Holy Ghost, went down in the water in Jesus' name, which is the only way you can enter into a covenant with God, which is how they did it in the book of Acts. And everybody in the Bible was baptized in the name of Jesus. They went down in the water. They were submerged in Jesus' name. And every single one of them got filled with the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. I mean, that's the only way. That's the only way to enter into a covenant with God. And because of that, we had hope, we had faith, we have purpose. And I'm talking to some people here tonight that I know that life has just been slamming up against you just as hard as it can with everything that it's got in it. You know, and some of you, you may have even thought it was the devil coming against you, and maybe it is. Maybe it is the enemy. But regardless of the source, whether it's just life or whether it's the enemy that's come against you, the end result is still the same. But the answer is still the same. The answer is in God. The answer is to put your faith, your hope, your trust in God. I think I may be talking to somebody that you wake up every morning and that thing is just weighing on your mind. And when you go to bed at night, that's the only thing you can think about. And it's with you every second of the day. But I'm here to tell you that there is hope. There is power in the name of Jesus. And there is a purpose to what you are going through tonight. They couldn't see it that day. When they went to the grave and they buried Lazarus, they couldn't see the hope. They couldn't see the promise. They couldn't see the end result. They were right smack dab in the middle of a miracle, but they had no idea what was going to happen in just 4 days. They thought all hope was gone. They thought everything that they had loved, their brother, their dear brother that they loved, they buried him, and they thought there is nothing that can get worse than this. They didn't realize that in just 4 days, the Master would show up on the scene, and he would raise up their brother from the dead, and he would renew life and bring life back into their purpose. Hallelujah. So I don't know what you're up against here tonight. Don't know what's been weighing on your mind, but it doesn't matter. The answer can be found in God. What you're going through, you may think it's just for you. You may think that nobody else knows about it, but I'm here to tell you what you're going through, it's not just for you. It's not just for you to see. It's not just for your family to know, but it's for others. It's for your neighbors. It's for your coworkers. It's for your schoolmates. Whatever the case may be, it's for them to be able to know and see the power of God working in your life. Just like it wasn't just for Martha's sake. Just like it wasn't just for Mary's sake or the disciples' sake, but all the Jews that were there that day, it was for their sake as well. And when they saw the miraculous power of God, they believed on him. They trusted in him. They had faith in him. So I'm here to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. When God brings you out on the other side, there's going to be folks talking about it. There's going to be folks seeing it. You're going to be a testimony. You're going to be a witness to God's miraculous power. I wish somebody believed that in the house tonight. I wish somebody would just take hold of that and just stand up and begin to worship God and believe on him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, somebody needs to just step out in faith. And just grab hold of this and begin to worship God. Come on, we don't have to go any further here tonight. Somebody can get delivered right here in the house tonight. Somebody can get their answer right now. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Somebody needs to just go ahead and take that problem that's been weighing on your mind. Take it. You haven't been able to think about anything else. You need to just take it up and throw it up in the hands of God. Just release it and let him have it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, that's it. That's it. I was trying to move on, but I can't. That's it. Somebody needs to just keep that up. Somebody just needs to let that flow right now. Come on, somebody needs to let the Holy Ghost just make intercession through your vessel and flow out into your life. Flow out into your Monday, into your Tuesday. Flow out into that problem that's been bugging you. Come on, somebody needs to just talk to it. Just get it in your mind and just talk in tongues and let the Holy Ghost pray a prayer through you right now. Brother Blash preached a sermon here. I think it's been about a year or so ago. It's simply titled "In the Middle of a Miracle." And if you haven't heard that, you owe it to yourself to go out on the website and listen to it. And if you have heard it, but it's been a while since you've heard it, You need to go out. You owe it to yourself to go listen to it and remind yourself of something. About a year ago, I was sitting at work. It was probably a little over a year ago. I was sitting at work one day, and I was having a pity party. I'll be honest with you. I was going through some things. My family was going through some things, and you know, it was in the midst of me still working two jobs, and it was just, it was weighing on me. It was heavy, and I think I was working the morning he actually preached that message, so I went on my phone, went out to the archives, pulled it up, and listened to it. And as he began to preach and talk about his testimony and what God did through him, and I can't do it justice here tonight, but as he began to talk about the places that God took him and the things that God did with him and how he was right smack dab in the middle of a miracle but didn't realize it as he was walking through it, then after that I went and just kind of, my testimony is out there as well as I shared it here with the church a couple years ago, part of it anyway, what I felt led of the Holy Ghost to share at that time. And I went out and listened to that right after, and I was weeping at my desk at work because I was reminded of the goodness of God. I was reminded of where he had brought us through and what he was doing with us and the fact that we were right smack dab in the middle of a miracle. I was blinded by it at that moment, but as I began to look back and see what God had done for us and where he had brought us from and where I was sitting that day, I began to just weep and begin to rejoice, because as bad as I thought it was at that moment, it was a lot better than it used to be. And I knew that I had a purpose and a plan, and I had a promise that I was still pressing towards and I was still going towards. And it wasn't just a couple months later that God blessed me with a job that I'm in right now. And I left that second job and I haven't looked back ever since. And God's hand of blessing has been upon me. And I'm trying to get that across to somebody tonight, that I know it may seem bleak. I know it may seem dark. I know it may seem like there's no hope, but I'm here to tell you there is hope in God. There is hope in the Holy Ghost. It can't get so bad that God can't pick you up out of it. You can't get so far off that God can't reach out and in just a matter of time, in just a moment, just turn it all completely around. Can we just lift up our hands and praise him right now? Tiffany, can you come help me? I know I'm talking to somebody in the Holy Ghost here tonight. I know something's been weighing on somebody. I can feel it in my spirit. But I'm here to tell you tonight that you don't need to lose hope. You don't need to give up. Those things that you've been thinking about, you just need to give it over to God. That thing that's been weighing on you, because I'm here to tell you that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or even think. God's able to do what he's got for you at the end of this you can't even imagine right now. I never would have thought that I would be where I'm at today when I was going through what we went through. But God had a plan. God had a purpose. And God's got a plan for you tonight. God's got a purpose for you tonight. And he's going to get some glory out of you. He's going to get some honor out of you. He's going to get some worship out of you. Because when God stepped into my life, when God stepped into my family's life, and he brought us out of that, and he delivered it, it wasn't just for us. We weren't the only ones that saw it, but there were others that saw it. It was for a testimony to the miraculous power of God. It has nothing to do with me. The only thing that had to do with me is because I was in a relationship with God. That's it. There's nothing special about me tonight. There's no difference between me or anybody else in here. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you've been baptized in his name, and you've entered into a covenant with God. That's the only requirement. If you don't have the Holy Ghost tonight here, you can come to this altar. God can fill you up with the Holy Ghost. We've got water. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name, and you can enter into a relationship and a covenant with God. But for those of you that been bought by the blood, you've been sanctified by the Spirit, you've been down in the water in Jesus' name, you've come up, you've been speaking in tongues, there's no difference between us. And if God did it for me, he can do it for you. He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your background, where you came from. You don't have to have a pedigree. God can do it for anybody. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. What matters is where he's from. All that matters is what he's got for you.
Hallelujah.
Come on, somebody just lift up a shout of praise in the house. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to just open up this altar tonight. And if the Holy Ghost has been talking to you, just come on down. If you need the Holy Ghost, we'll pray for you. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost. But if you've got something, you've been washed in His name, you've been down in the water in Jesus' name, you've been filled up with the Holy Ghost, but you've been going up against something that you can't press through it, you can't get past it, and you don't know what's going to happen, you feel like there's no way out, I want you to come to this altar. Lift up your hands and put it in the hands of the Master. Put it in the hands of the one who can answer that prayer. Put it in the hands of the one who created the heavens and the earth. Ha. Come on, we serve that same Jesus we read about tonight that raised Lazarus from the dead. And if He could raise Lazarus from the dead, how hard is your problem? Come on, just lift it up to Him. Give it over to Him tonight. Somebody needs to look back over your life and see what God's done for you. Remind yourself of the blessings of God. Come on, mix your faith with your worship tonight. Come on, He's able. Don't weep with a voice of sorrow, but weep with a voice of joy, knowing that God is able to deliver.